requested to, first of all, help all of us to relax a little bit and to make an experience where the body and the mind will become very, let me say, open for a spiritual experience. And I very much will rise to the occasion and guide all of you in a guided meditation. Before I do so, I have to request all of you to bear with me. I'm speaking English with a strong German accent, as you might have noticed. I will do my best to somehow do the put a London swing on this, I'm sure that because we discuss about spiritual things, that these external differences of the language will not bear anyone from making the experience. When we look towards yoga, bhakti yoga, hatha yoga, jnana yoga, any type of yoga, we are really looking for a connection. Yoga means to connect, and in our little yoga session, which we will do now, our bhakti yoga session, I will try my best to help you to connect to higher levels of your existence, levels which will work on your psychology and on your general state, so that you can actually make, which will after all speak louder than just philosophy to you. So, let me see, I have to look towards my system. You are ready with the music?
Yeah?
We are. Good. Love to start by requesting all of you to sit tall. You can either take the backrest of your chair as a help, or you can sit independently from the backrest. It's important that for this exercise that our spine is tall or erect. That will help to align all the different nervous system in our body. Kindly look a little bit around in the church and become aware of your environment, because very soon I will request you to close your eyes. So I always tell my people, this is your last chance. Don't worry, we will open the eyes after that. Then, when you are ready, kindly close your eyes. And just sit a little bit and become aware of the in and outgoing breath. At this time, just watch your breath. No need to manipulate or control it. Just become aware of your breath. We will do a little bit breath work, because it's the breath which connects us with the vast area of our subconsciousness or unconscious mind. It is in this area where a lot of our hidden strengths lies. Please try to lengthen your exhale. Just breathe in and out through the nose. Whenever you exhale, try to lengthen it a little bit. You will see how you start breathing more alive. Your breathing will become more alive. When you lengthen your exhale, your inhale will automatically follow and become more long or more deep. As you breathe in, mentally tell yourself, in. And as you breathe out, mentally repeat again and again to yourself, out. This will help you to connect your mind to your breath. You want to become mindful. Stop being mindless or absent-minded. As you continue to breathe in and out in a somewhat relaxed way, I request you to bring your attention to your legs. Start from the tip of the toes of the left leg and go through the whole leg up to the place where it touches your torso or is connected with your body, and relax all that. The left leg can be given to the law of gravity. Now become aware of your right leg, starting with the tips of the toe of your right foot, going up all the way to where the leg is connected with your torso or trunk. And when you exhale, relax that right leg. Our goal is to become very aware but incredibly relaxed. Now move your attention to the place of your bed body where you sit on your seats. And on an exhale, relax your own physical sitting place. Bring your attention slowly to the torso the trunk of your body. Slowly moving up to the neck. And also relax. Now bring your attention to the left shoulder and down the arm to your left hand, and then on an exhale just relax that part, surrender it to the law of gravity. I think because you are here in London, you might specifically look at your shoulder, the left shoulder. Oh, it's not really relaxed in most of your cases, because it's here where we carry a lot of mental burden. Try to really relax the left shoulder and the arm. Now go to the right shoulder and the right arm down to the hand, and on an exhale relax also that part. Now we come to our face. Someone told me that there are 3,552 muscles in the face, which are constantly active in order to smile to people, or to frown at people, or just look as if we have a stiff upper lip. Relax your facial muscles on an exhale. You will see it feels as if a mask falls down. That's good. Now I request you to bring your attention to the heart area. It is here in the heart that the yogis assume that the eternal Atman, the soul, is. Or if you wish, to call it your core consciousness, that's all right. Focus on that area in the heart. Your body, which is by now hopefully a little bit more relaxed, can be compared to a coat or a long shirt. Relax it totally. You can use the picture of a shirt, or let us stay with a coat, which you put on a hanger. It stays there in shape, but it hangs there, it is relaxed, it's not moving, it's at peace. You are not that body, and actually not even the mental processes, but you are witness of the body, an observer. You can imagine your body to be a little bit like this ancient church in which we sit. There's a ground part, the floor. There's a middle part where the chandeliers spread their light. And there is, at least in the front, something like a dome part, a higher part. We will now place in all these three levels a sacred mantra, the mantra of Ram. While bringing our attention to the ground part, which corresponds with the place in our body where we sit, I think in polite English we say the bottom, we will chant a syllable to experience the powerful force of spiritual sound. I will one time tell this sound alone. I will make the sound alone. And then when I give you a little sign, I will request you to sing it with me. Now three times. Up in the area where your heart is. It corresponds to the area where the chandeliers are here in this church. I will one time say the Ram alone, and then we will three times say it all together. Ram. good. We will continue to move higher in the cathedral of sound. We are using the sound to purify and to strengthen through vibration, sound vibration, these areas in our body. Kindly move up now, bring your attention to the area on top of your skull or your head. Which corresponds to the top of the dome of your body. And this time I request you to apply some strength to your chanting. Just imagine this will be like an ocean of sound, a very strong vibration, and you can just happily swim in that. It will relax you even more. I will now do this one time alone, and then after I have chanted one time alone, I request you to produce an ocean of this vibration. Now just remain in silence for a few more seconds and then I will tell you what to do next. But during this time, just go through your whole body and your mind and just analyze how you feel. Them and rub them to just create a little friction between them. Bring the hands to your eyes as if you do palming, and then slowly move your hands away from the eyes and look into the palms of your hand as if you see them for the first time. You might discover some lines. And then return to room awareness slowly. Thank you very much. What we just did is a yogic relaxation, augmented or helped, how kind of you, by the power of mantra, a sound vibration, which we in a way implanted with our conscious attention into the three different energy centers in the body. One which is here under the spine, one is in the heart area, and the third in the head area, or top of the head area. And you might like to do this at home, in the subway, or at your working place, and you will see how you not only relax the body from its tensions, you might even lose your back pain, but that you also feel a clarity in your mind and in your consciousness, a clarity which comes because a lot of the unnecessary tensions which life throws at you are just relaxed, and you can be more in your midst, you can be more balanced. So I would like to now move on a little bit and give you a little introductory talk on Bhakti Yoga. I feel very honored that the organizers of this program have invited me here in the midst of London, in this very peaceful place. I mean, we are really not so much in London any longer. And you do look different. I mean, my God, do you look different? You look like yogis from the Himalayas. What happened to you? Good. I did this one. I mean, I think I have to relax you by bringing a little. I heard I should talk a little bit humorously because we are in England. I have done this at a big international peace conference with two presidents. One was the president of Croatia, the other the president of Slovenia, places you most probably don't recognize in your own map. It was big, you know, all full of delegates, with ministers, and so on. And I said, I just talk on one simple principle that I always feel as a monk of the Krishna tradition, that inner peace precedes outer peace. If you are not peaceful inside, you will quarrel with your neighbor, and a quarreling neighborhood makes a quarreling community, and quarreling communities make quarreling countries, and quarreling countries make war. And so I said like this, and I will now do something to make you feel peaceful. And you know, it was just after there was so much war in this Balkan areas where I did this. Yeah, right, there were also the Serbs were also there. And I just did the same or slightly different guided meditation, which I've done with all of you. And afterwards, they all looked at me so peaceful, like little children. And I said, now do you think to go that it is a good idea to go to war? And they said, they got the point. Individual peace is very important. So, but I would say Bhakti Yoga goes beyond this concept of relaxing our body and mind, but it goes really to the soul dimension or heart dimension, which our MC, our master of ceremonies, has hinted at. And I would like to introduce this a little bit to you now. See, from the spiritual point of view, we are not human beings who somewhere here have a soul or an inner consciousness. No, from the spiritual point of view, we are souls who somehow live in a human body and have a human experience. Let me explain it in a slightly different way. From a spiritual point of view, we are souls who have a human body, not humans who have a soul. We are here in this world in a material body and a material mind with certain thought patterns, and we make all our learning experiences in our journey of life, which is necessary for our evolution, our growth, our spiritual maturity, you could say. Now, in this journey, there are five stations. This journey of inner growth has five levels we all go through. The first level, let me say, welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, you came late, but you came. Concentrate on the positive things. In our spiritual growth, there are these five levels, and I request you to listen now very attentively, and please listen with two minds. One is just to absorb this new type of information which you will hear, but the other mind is the mind which wants to find out, on what level am I at the present moment in my own inner growth or spiritual growth. So, the first level of consciousness is the level we all know when we are children. It's anamaya, and it translates, I am because I eat. The little baby is maybe totally disturbed because the mother is absent, and it cries, or the baby has maybe had a bad dream, or the cat in the room jumped into the little cradle and upset the little baby. But when the mother comes and breastfeeds the little baby, the baby begins to smile and makes sounds of happiness. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Because for the little baby, the consciousness is rooted to this identification with the material body, and when the body is well fed and well has enough to drink, when it's nourished, the baby is all right, it's happy. You may laugh, but many human beings, grown-up human beings, are on a similar platform. When something is not right in their life, they go to the refrigerator and eat cream cheese and apple crumble. I'm at the moment a guest of wonderful hosts who make sure that every minute in my life there is something to eat or drink. That's a certain level of concern. It's the beginning level of our spiritual, of our journey. I am because I eat. I had an aunt, Tante Anke, that's a German name, I know. Whenever she was disturbed, she went to that refrigerator and plundered it, and thought, now life is all right. That was her way of solving the situation, because her identity was rooted in the body. Now, the next level is a little bit different. It's called pranamaya in Sanskrit, and here a person is more identified with his or her activities. When you ask such a person, who are you? He will say, I'm a musician or a sportswoman or a counselor or something which links the sense of identity to prana or the activities which go on. These are people who are identified still with the body, but who focus very much on actions. Often these people are workaholics, if you know what that is, who are happy when they work or when they do something, because it gives them a sense of identity, and they become totally depressed and useless when there is no longer anything to do in their life. Now, the next level of consciousness is called Vijnanamaya. Here a person identifies with his thought processes. If you ask them, who are you? He will say, I'm a communist, or I'm a free thinker, or I'm a democrat, and so on. Here a person is more identified with the mind and its endless variation and endless interpretations and endless identification. As you go higher in your spiritual evolvement or in your inner growth, you come to the level of Vijnanamaya. The third level was Jnanamaya. I am what I think. And then the fourth level is Vijnanamaya. I am because I am. On this level, a human being is slowly disidentifying. I hope it's an English word, but I'm sure you will understand what I want to say. Or detaching himself or herself from the body and the mind. The body is hungry, the body is active, the mind thinks a lot. But a person on this fourth level wants to understand, who am I beyond the body and the mind? This is a little bit what we tried to do in the first part of this program, where we really wanted to detach ourselves from the body and the mind through this guided meditation. You know? It's called Vijnanamaya. It's what yogis are interested in, and what more and more people in the Western world have come to appreciate, who go to self-improvement courses, yoga courses, who start their day maybe with a meditation CD, and so on and so forth. They really want to stop the illusion. The illusion where the self is identified with body and mind. And the final level of understanding, it is called self-realization, is in Sanskrit named as Anandamaya. Anandamaya is a concept whereby you can find your rest in God. You connect with God, you connect, in my tradition, with Krishna. That's the name I am accustomed to. Through this connection, this divine consciousness, or this higher consciousness, you are acting on the spiritual level. In Anandamaya, we don't see ourselves any longer as the body and the mind. We observe the body, and we observe the endlessly changing mental processes. But on this fifth level, we are not identified and not disturbed by it. Not even the time of death poses a difficulty for us. I'm very much moved at this time of my life, because my long-term secretary left her body And I was there to assist her consciousness, you know, to read things, to sing to her, to accompany her on that last journey in this body. And she had asked me to write a poem to all the people whom she would leave behind, but who had relationships, affectionate relationships with her. And I wrote this poem, and from her perspective, how she would see all these people whom she left. And I know her since 20 years, so we talked a lot, and I thought this would be the best way to express her friends, to use a poem which started like this: "Don't cry. When you see me with a pale face in a coffin, then don't cry. Do you cry when the shell of an oyster breaks and the pearl finally rolls free? Do you cry when the long struggle is finally over and the butterfly leaves the dead cocoon? This is only another evening of my life. Soon the sun will rise for another birthday." So a person on that Ananda Maya platform, on the platform where he or she is connected with God, is not even disturbed when the physical body is cremated. Such a person is living in a higher connection and has severed the lower connections. So I see Sandipani Krishna, your face shows time is also there. Am I reading your face properly? You might ask, I will now come to an end. Sometimes it's difficult to keep times. You might ask how to get to this higher platform. I think this will be the subject matter of many more meetings here. It will be here in this venue, wonderful venue, where you can learn more about Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of connecting through devotion with that higher level. But for here, I just want to say there is one process which I would like to introduce you to. It is singing the names, the beautiful names, the powerful names of the Lord, together with other people, and just connecting the consciousness with the sound vibration of these names. These names are so, let us say, so much imbued with this spiritual power that they can detach us from the wrong identifications with body and mind, and can bring us to the higher level of consciousness. And the example which is given is that most of people's heart is closed like a closed lotus flower, you know, where the petals are over each other, are crossing each other. But when you hear the divine names, those closed hearts open, and the sense of eternity becomes free. The soul discovers itself as a part of God. It's almost like when the moon rays come to the lotus flower and shine on the lotus flower, and then the lotus flower opens and opens and opens by the power of the moon rays. So one process in Bhakti Yoga, there are many other processes, is chanting the divine names. And because we have Gaura Hari with us, who is the leader of the Gaura Hari Bhajan band, it's at least in the Balkans, a famous music band, we will sing together. We have brought two mantras for you, are wonderful. And you can turn in this direction. I need to find my... And the way it goes is, I think you all know by now, I will sing the first part of it, and then I will sing this mantra, and then you repeat it, then I sing it again, and you listen, and then you repeat it, and I listen. It's in German language, ein Wechselgesang, if that makes any sense to you, changing, huh? So, it's not a difficult thing. You can just look occasionally. No need to look all the time, otherwise you get a stiff neck, and that would be not such a good way to end such a good program on yoga, on Bhakti Yoga. So just catch up the names and then do.
Sitaram, Sitara, Ram Sitara, Sitara, Dei Dei Ram, Ram Sitara, Sitara. Ram Sitaram, Sitaram Jai Jai Ram. Ram Sitaram, Sitaram. Ram Sitaram, Sitaram Jai Jai Ram. Ram Sitaram, Sitaram Jai Jai. Sitaram, Sitaram, Jai Jai Ram. Ram Sitaram, Sitaram, Jai Jai Ram. Sitaram, Sitaram, Jai Jai Ram. Ram Sitaram, Sitaram, Jai Jai Ram. Jai Ram. Sitaram, Jai Jai Ram. Ram Sitaram, Jai Ram Sitaram. Sitaram Jai Jai Ram.
Please sing a little bit more stronger.
Sitaram Jai Jai Ram. Ram Sitaram, Sitaram, Jai Jai Ram. Ram Sitaram, Sitaram, Jai Jai Ram.
Hai bo!
Ram Sitaram, Sitaram, Jai Jai Ram.
Ram
Sitaram, Sitaram. Sitaram, Sitaram, Jai Jai Ram, Ram, Sitaram, Sitaram.
I'd like to thank His Holiness Satchinandan Swami Maharaj for coming here. And it's not quite 5,000 people, but when you were in the kirtan singing, it felt like there was more than 5,000 people here.
Yes, yeah, a wonderful acoustic here. Wonderful acoustic. And you did wonderful. Did you notice? I think in London English you would say, you guys were wonderful.
So again, I'd just like to, from my heart, thank Maharaj for the wonderful meditation. That meditation at the beginning, it didn't feel like we were in London at all. In fact, I couldn't describe where we were, actually. So thank you, Maharaj, for that. And thank you for the wonderful talk, inspiring talk, and then the lovely kirtan at the end. So we'll be having these sessions regularly, hopefully at least once a month, and hopefully every 2 weeks. I can't work out, is that bi-monthly or bi-weekly? Every 2 weeks. Bi-weekly. I said that before. Someone said, I'm going to stick to fortnightly. So we'll be having these sessions fortnightly. So please come along. The next one will be 2 weeks on Thursday. So we'll be having them regularly on Thursdays. I think that's a date that suits everybody. You're welcome to come along anytime you like. Invite your friends. It's open for everybody. There's no charge. Today, because it's our first day of Bhakti Yoga, we have some light snacks and refreshments at the back, and then going forward, hopefully we'll have some fruit and things like that. So thank you very much for attending. If anyone has any specific questions, then they can come and see Marge at the end. Otherwise, thank you very much.
Thank you. You speak very well.